The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we saw yesterday, Naomi's husband took their family to Moab when they should have stayed in Bethlehem. But God is good even in the face of our disobedience. When Ruth returned with her mother-in-law, she encountered a mighty man of wealth named Boaz, who ultimately redeemed her and took her to be his wife. Boaz is a clear type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today as we continue learning about our Boaz, Christ, by examining the life and actions of the literal Boaz.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free.
And the idea in this parable is that this man's not looking for treasure. Right. He's walking through the field. He's going through there, and he stumbles across this treasure. But you know what he does then? He sells all that he has. Now, you know, that can mean literally selling all that you have. That can mean that. There may be situations where when you stumble across, from your perspective, the kingdom of God in this life, you may be engaged in some activity or some business or something that's highly immoral that requires you to divest yourself of your business, divest yourself of your friends, divest yourself of your social acquaintances, give it all up and sell out to the kingdom. But it doesn't necessarily require that. What it may require is for you to leave where you are in whatever field you're gleaning in and come back to this field. Come over here to this place. You know what Paul said about that in Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, but, and listen, leading up to this, the first several verses, verse 4, for instance, he says, I might also have confidence in the flesh. He talks about his credentials in the Jewish religion. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, zealous to a fault, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's what he had before he found the treasure in the field on the road to Damascus. But notice verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And we know what dung is. I don't have to elaborate on that. And all the things of all of his life that he had built up through all of his life's work, he said, oh, that's just dung. I throw that on the dung heap that I might now serve in the kingdom of God. Nothing of the world, beloved, comes close to the kingdom of God. Nothing he already had came close to the kingdom of God. You know what Paul did? Paul bought that field, okay? He bought that field, not some other field. That's what that man who found the treasure in the field did. He bought that field. There are many counterfeit fields out there in the religious world. Some come pretty close, but none are the field of our Boaz. Only the kingdom of God. And notice that I have to say this, he bought the field, not just the treasure. I wish I could just buy the treasure. If I could just buy the good things of the church, that's all I want. I don't want the bad parts. I don't want the sinners. You know, if I could get rid of all the sinners out of the church and just be perfectly happy and sinless, that'd be great, right? The problem is that would exclude me from the church. Had somebody asked me not too long ago, said, would it be okay if I come to your church? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you a sinner? And he's like, yeah. I said, then you're welcome. You're the only kind that is welcome to our church. Because if you come here and you don't see yourself as a sinner, you're not going to get anything out of the message. The message I have for you is not for the high and the mighty. It's not for the self-righteous. It's not for the perfect who live perfect lives. It's for those who are broken and undone. It's for those who are struggling in this world, those who are wandering through this world and see themselves as strangers and sojourners in a strange land, pilgrims on their way home. That's the message I have for you. He bought that field. There's weeds in that field. There's holes in that field. There's probably stumps and other problems in that field, but the treasure's in that field. Beloved, in the church, you're not going to find a perfect church. There are sinners in the church. Surprise, surprise, right? And because we're sinners, there's sometimes problems. There's sometimes famines. There was a famine in Bethlehem. And Elimelech left. But Elimelech should have stayed. Because that was the field, you see, where God, our Boaz, had purchased. Back over in Ruth chapter 2. Look at something else here. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Elder David Montgomery said, that's the wowzer moment. that's the moment where on the cartoons, the guy turns around and sees the pretty girl and his eyes bug out and everything goes crazy, okay? He has looked over there and he has seen Ruth. Notice what it is, what's happened here. Her Boaz saw her before she saw him. Her Boaz saw her before she saw him. Now listen, she wasn't looking her best. She wasn't in a pageant. She wasn't dressed to go out. She was gleaning in the field. She wasn't primping. It's okay to make yourself look pretty. It's okay, ladies, to do that. It's okay, men, to try to make yourselves look better. I try that every day. It doesn't work too well, but I try. But we shouldn't focus upon that. Listen, today's fashions will attract attention, yes, but it won't be the right kind of attention. Now, I want you to notice something else about this young lady, by the way. She wasn't prideful. Then in verse 10, after he talks to her, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? If you remember over in 2 Samuel, when David sent for Mephibosheth, who was lame in both of his feet, he couldn't get to Jerusalem himself. He was Jonathan, his friend's son, of the line of Saul. When he brought Mephibosheth into his home there, he went and fetched him and brought him there. Mephibosheth didn't look at him and say, well, it's about time. I've been wondering when you were going to come get me. I thought you should have been. Why weren't you here a day or two sooner? He didn't say that. He said, how can you look upon a dead dog such as I? I've not known of anybody yet who experienced the new birth and experienced being the conviction of the gospel message who said, yep, I knew that was for me. Everyone I've ever known has said, how can this possibly be for me? That's what she said. She said, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not, she wasn't prideful. She didn't feel entitled. She recognized that she was a stranger and was not really even worthy of the attention of this great man, this great mighty man of wealth, okay? You know, that translates over into the church into a verse found in Psalm 84 and verse 10, where David says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know what he's saying there? He's saying when you come to the church and you join the church, you don't come marching up here to the front saying, hey, I think I can add to this, what you're doing here. You come crawling in. You come crawling down, not literally, obviously, but figuratively. I know one man that came in and fell. Heard the stories over at Bethlehem of one who came in and fell on his face as he joined the church, just in awe of the Lord. You say, just let me be a doorkeeper. Well, I want to ascend up to the highest ranks in the church. There have been very few that I've dealt with, one or two, but others I've heard of, young men who believe they were called to preach. And they brought it to, not necessarily the church, but to some older preacher and said, hey, I've got a gift and I want to share it, you know, promoting themselves. Pushing themselves. Beloved, that's the young man I don't want to preach to me. That's the young man you better watch. You know, I didn't jump into this. I ran from it, Brother Buddy. I don't know about you. I believe I've heard your story too. I fought it for a long time. You know why? Because I don't believe I'm worthy. I never have felt worthy to stand here before you. You just let me have a little seat at the very back there. And if you'd ever, let me just say this, church. If you ever did that to me, I would gladly have a seat at the back there. And just sit there and be the doorkeeper. And that's the attitude we all ought to have. That's the attitude she had. He saw her before she saw him. And he loved her before she loved him. Guess what? Our Boaz saw us before we saw him. Our Boaz sought us when we weren't even seeking him. Ephesians 1 and verse 4 tells us about that. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You know, that's not a time where we existed, was it? You know, Job was asked several questions over there in the book of Job. I believe it was about 88 questions, and he didn't know the answer to them because he wasn't there. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the world? Tell me if you know. And the answer is, I don't. This is before that was even done. Our Boaz chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, we're told by Peter that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We love him, John tells us in 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. We're told by Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 3, the Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Our Boaz, our mighty man of wealth, saw us when we could not see him. He saw us when we knew not that he existed. He saw us before the foundation of the world, and it wasn't because of some goodness he saw in us. Because Psalm 14 tells us he did look down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did seek him. He said, they've all gone out of the way. There's none good, no, not one. Her Boaz saw her before she saw him. Our Boaz saw us before we saw him. And then finally, let me just say this. Her Boaz blessed her as no other can. Her Boaz blessed her as no other could ever bless her. Look at verse 8. He showed her the field where to glean. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. He said, you go to this field. You reap in this field, not some other field, not the fields of this world. He said, don't go leaving the house of bread. Don't go leaving Bethlehem. When you leave your house of bread in the famine, you end up in Moab, beloved, destitute and alone and starving. Destitute of the spiritual food that you need to sustain you. If you don't believe me, ask the prodigal son one day. As I always say when we talk about the prodigal son, that's not about a young man going down and getting born again in the pig pen. That's about a young man who had all the glory and beauty of his father's house. He was a child of God before he ever left. But he left that house of bread and he went out to the Moab of this world. And before it was over, he was down there in the pig pen. And he was lusting after the husks that they were feeding the pigs. And for a Jewish boy to be down in that position was the worst place he could possibly be in that day. And then he came to himself. He said, how crazy am I? See, the himself that he came to was not the himself that left. It was the himself that he had put down and starved and kept at bay for many years. He was already a child, already had that nature. And that's the true self of every child of God. He showed her where to glean and he showered her with blessings. Look at verse 15. I love this. After, you know, he told her, at mealtime you come and eat here. And then she did that and she left. And then when she left, verse 15, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. You know, when you're gleaning out in those fields, you know, the sheaves are what's already baled up. We would call it, you know, bales today, cotton bales or hay bales and that sort of thing. They would gather up in the reaping and they would tie them together and they would set them over here in a certain area. And you couldn't go over there to glean. That was where the sheaves were. But did you know in the field of Boaz, Ruth could glean even among the sheaves? You know, if I tried to go over there, if she had tried to go in any other field over to where the sheaves were, they said, no, you can't go there. You glean in the field. No, he said, let her glean even among the sheaves. Beloved, that's what we're experiencing here at this church. That's what we're experiencing on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And every time we get together in fellowship, we're gleaning among the sheaves. We're gleaning in the place where God has just got so much bounty that we can't even hardly comprehend it. And he said in verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You know, those little handfuls of purpose are kind of like some of the things that have happened to me in my life. When I'll be out there on the highways and byways of this world, not necessarily thinking about things of the kingdom of God, maybe missing the kingdom of God. Occasionally I'd be out there when I was running the campaign over the past year or two, and I'd be lonesome and by myself, and my phone would ring. I'd look down and be Elder Lonnie Masingo. Or I'd look down and it'd be Brother Buddy Abernathy. Or it'd be somebody. Every once in a while I'd run into somebody who had a connection to the Primitive Baptist somewhere in South Alabama or Northeast Alabama. Do you know Ricky Harcrow? Yes, I know Ricky Harcrow. Absolutely. We know. And next thing you know, we're talking about old Baptist doctrine. I ran into a guy one time at a Farmers Federation meeting up in northwest Alabama. Came up to me and said, you don't remember me, but I'm a member of Brother Ricky Harcrow's church. I said, brother, come over here. Let's eat together. And more than that, not just that. That's the sweet fellowship of the kingdom of God. But times when God has providentially blessed you. He said, you don't just glean everything here. In fact, don't reap everything here. In fact, leave some on purpose. Did you know God in his providential care and love for us leaves things for us on purpose in this world? The writer there in the Psalms, I forget the address over there, he said, I had fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, I'm looking forward to the sweet by and by, but I live in the nasty here and now. I struggle every day. I'm looking forward. Listen, that sustains me knowing that I have a home awaiting me, but sometimes I need to sense his presence here, and I need to see and glean those handfuls of purpose that he leaves in my path. And let me just leave you with this. He showered her with these blessings in the field where he said to glean. And that's where he will shower us with blessings primarily, is in that field. He can bless us out there in the world, and he does. But don't make him have to, child of God. Come into the right field and glean in the right field, you see. But more than that even, he filled her greatest need. What was Ruth's greatest need? She was a widow. Widows were in danger of starvation in that day. They had no social security system. The only thing she could do was glean. She needed to be in a family. She needed to be married to a husband who would provide for her. And that's what Boaz did for her. He set her in a family. He set her in his own family. He took her to be his wife. Read chapter 4 sometime and you'll see what he did for her. In Psalm 68 and verse 5, we read the following. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God setteth the solitary in families. Do you know our Boaz set us in a family? Our Boaz set us in his own family. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9, I quote very often, says, for the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. I know he's our inheritance. I know he's our portion, but we are his portion. He is our husband. He says he found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. That's where Ruth was. That's where Paul was. That's where we were. And that's where we would have been left, except that he found us there and set us who were solitary into his family. Her Boaz was a mighty man of wealth, but our Boaz is greater. Her Boaz saw her before she saw him and set her into his family. Our Boaz has done so much more for us than her Boaz could ever do for her. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1 says, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Now listen, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And what does that mean? What does it mean she's received? This is representative of all God's children. We have received double for all our sins. Well, this is what that means, I believe. Not only has he forgiven us of our iniquities, which was enough, which would have been more than we could expect, but he's also placed us as sons in his kingdom. So, you know, mercy, we're told, is us not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. We've received double. We've not only been forgiven of that which we deserve to receive, which is nothing but eternal punishment, but we've also been grafted into his family. We've been grafted, we've been placed, translated into the kingdom of his dear son from the kingdom of darkness. And he has conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. Our Boaz has done that for us. And he's not only provided for eternity, but he provides for us here and now. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul said, "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." See, our need is provided for. And you know, if you go back over there to Ruth and read that last verse in chapter 2, we're told that she gleaned in that field, not just in the barley harvest, but all the way through the wheat harvest. Now the barley was good grain. You could live with the barley. But the wheat is finer. The wheat is more versatile. The wheat is a better quality. She didn't just have to glean to the barley harvest tended and then go somewhere else. She got to glean all the way through the best of the kingdom, the best of that field. Beloved, as God's children, we get to glean here in the field that he has provided for us, not just a little bit here and there, but the handfuls of purpose among the sheaves through the barley harvest and all the way through the wheat harvest. The best of the kingdom of God we have access to because of our Boaz who loved us before the foundation of the world.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.